We come back to consider this evening baptism, the first of two sacraments that Christ has ordained for His church as a means of grace, along with the Word of God, especially preached, and prayer that we'll finish the larger catechism with a little while later after the Lord's Supper. We start the last question on baptism, although we will not complete it tonight. We'll read the whole thing, but we're only going to look together at the beginning and end of it together. And that will be larger catechism, question and answer 167. So again, we just begin to look at that tonight. Larger catechism, question and answer 167, how we are to improve our baptism. And we will be looking at one of the scriptures given, Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. And I won't really be giving a lot of attention or exegesis to all the verses. We'll focus mainly on the verses that the Catechism highlights, but I think it will be good to see its context. Verses 4, 6, and 11 are the verses given to us for our attention. But let's look at them in context. Verses 1 to 11, a popular section that talks about baptism. And we want to remember and see here, it's not talking about the mode of baptism. It's talking about the meaning of baptism. And that will be very helpful for us as we consider what it is, so that we know why we must improve it. And so with that, let's look first at Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. And then we'll turn to the larger catechism, 167, as our guide. Beloved, let these words sink into your hearts. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved, whether you be baptized as a baby or whether you be baptized as a believing adult, what you will hear tonight applies to you. We're beyond some of the issues that can tend to divide the church, and now we're in a unifying principle here. Whenever you've been baptized, and you must improve your baptism. This applies to you who were first-generation Christians and baptized upon profession of faith. This applies to our covenant children who have been baptized within the covenant. Either way, you all have a responsibility to take this next question very, very seriously. And you'll see in the introduction of the answer, it says, how very sad that the church takes it not very, very seriously. But we are to take it seriously tonight. Man and woman, boy and girl. Larger Catechism, question and answer 167. How is our baptism to be improved by us? The needful but much neglected duty of improving our baptism is to be performed by us all our life long, especially in the time of temptation and when we are present at the administration of it to others. By serious and thankful consideration of the nature of it, and of the ends for which Christ instituted it, the privileges and benefits conferred and sealed thereby, and our solemn vow made therein, by being humbled for our sinful defilement, our falling short of, and walking contrary to the grace of baptism and our engagements, by growing up to assurance of pardon of sin and of all other blessings sealed to us in that sacrament, by drawing strength from the death and resurrection of Christ, into whom we are baptized for the mortifying of sin and quickening of grace, and by endeavoring to live by faith, to have our conversation in holiness and righteousness, as those that have therein given up their names to Christ, and to walk in brotherly love as being baptized by the same Spirit into one body. We're going to look only at the beginning and the ending of that answer tonight. The beginning is the needful but much neglected duty of improving our baptism is to be performed by us all our life long, especially in the time of temptation, and when we are present at the administration of it to others. And before we get to the end of it again, notice in the middle, considering our text and our title of the sermon tonight, and walking contrary, being humbled by walking contrary to the grace of baptism and our engagements. We'll look at that next week more, but notice there again, there's this idea of walking contrary to the grace of baptism. And then in the end, we consider this with the beginning. And to walk in brotherly love, as being baptized by the same Spirit into one body. Tonight we are looking at essentially the what. What is it to improve our baptism? What does it mean? Or maybe also the why of improvement. What exactly are we talking about? Next week we will look at the middle of the answer, which is basically the how. The how we improve our baptism, more details. But the what is tonight what we focus on, and the what is the walk. What is it to improve our baptism? It is to improve our walk with Christ, having been marked by Him in ownership. So next week we'll look at a little bit more about how to walk, but tonight we consider the walk itself. What is it to improve our baptism? A duty of all those who've been baptized. J.G. Voss explains to us what it means to improve our baptism, saying this: improving our baptism means to be experiencing baptism's meaning and working out its implications in actual life. You see, baptism is a one-time thing, but it has an ongoing meaning. It is you are Christ's, and therefore that means something about how you are to express that you are Christ's. Improve your baptism. Experiencing its meaning and working out its implications in your actual life. And so we see in Romans 6, 1-11, that's really the idea that's being communicated. In short, baptism means to be found lying dead to the world. That's the first thing it means. Crucified to the world. Your baptism in Christ means to be found lying dead to the world. As well, it means to be walking alive in the kingdom of heaven. Baptism means to be found lying dead to the world and to be found walking alive in the kingdom of heaven. Thinking about the need to improve our baptism, Thomas Watson writes this: alas, what is it to have the name of Christ and want His image? Many baptized Christians are no better than heathens, such as live unsuitable to their baptism, may go with baptismal water on their faces and sacramental bread in their mouths to hell. For some, your baptism means nothing to you. The Lord's Supper you take tonight means nothing to you. It will be obvious because you do not improve your baptism. You will not walk with God. And you'll find yourself with the signs on your faces, but no significance in them for you. And find yourself with baptism water on your face and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in your mouth in hell. Beloved, baptism, remember, is a means of grace for the true invisible church. Here in the visible church, you are to improve upon it for yourself, that you find yourself in heaven. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Beloved, prove yourself by improving your baptism. Beloved, may we prove ourselves by improving together our baptism. And the message for you tonight comes from our scripture we're well familiar with, a theme from camp a few years ago, Galatians 5:25. Let us improve our baptism. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what it is to improve our baptism. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To improve your baptism is to be found walking with the Spirit of Christ. That's the first part of the catechism we look at tonight. To improve your baptism is to be found walking with the Spirit of Christ. But this is a much neglected duty. The catechism begins the answer, the needful but much neglected duty of improving our baptism. First of all, as one commentator said, if they're saying that in the 1600s, what must it likely mean for us today? The much needful but much neglected duty of improving our baptism, that is, walking with God. The needful but much neglected duty of improving our baptism is to be performed by us all our life long. We have to be careful not to think of baptism as something that was only done to us and then it's done and we forget about it. Rather, it is something that we are to be performing all our life long. Baptism, remember, puts you into the church, which is a living body, and you are to be found living, walking in it as part of it. It's not a dead sacrament. It's a living sacrament. The meaning of it is your union and your communion with Christ. The meaning of baptism, again, is that you have been washed by the Spirit, by the blood of Christ, are cleansed and made holy, and made God's. And that should always be meaningful to you, and thus it should always be moving you, and thus it should always keep you moving in the use of improving your baptism. Catechism goes on to say you must be performing it all your life long, improving your baptism, first especially in the time of temptation. Have you thought about how much your baptism can help you fight temptation? Can help you walk with God and not walk in darkness and not walk, as we read in Ephesians 4:17, with the Gentiles. Remembering your baptism because it identifies you as who you are. And the sheep are not to walk with the goats. And the baptism gives you a recognizable, obvious thing you can point to and say, that's not me, I can't walk with you. That is me, I have to walk with them. Thomas Watson shares how Martin Luther tells the story of how a lady, a pious lady, applied her baptism to fight sin. He writes this, Luther tells of a pious woman who, when the devil tempted her to sin, answered Satan, Baptizata sum. I am baptized. And so beat back the tempter. I hope that encourages you tonight, beloved. That is a really profound, wonderful note of wisdom Thomas Watson shares with us. We have a saint from the past, a godly woman who had, I guess, shared with Reverend Luther or someone that shared it with him when she was really struggling against the temptation of sin. She said, I am baptized, and then didn't sin. I am baptized, which is to say I am Christ's. And if I am Christ's, I am dead to that walk. And I am alive now to this walk. Baptism, again, is a claiming you for Christ. To say I am baptized is to say I am Christ's. And so I choose and must only walk with Him. What a powerful, powerful thing to take with us and live a holy life and walk in the Spirit. I am baptized. I am a Christian. He goes on to say, not only should we improve our baptism, especially in the time of temptation, it's a particular help to us to fight temptation. But it goes on to say, when we are present at the administration of it to others. So positively, we are particularly to improve our baptism when we see other people being baptized, whether it's an infant in a covenant family or a first-time believer. We need to improve our baptism every time we see it happening. We need to think about, I am baptized. I am baptized too. And what that means for me, just as much as for you. When we see other people being baptized, we need to be reminding ourselves of our own baptism and further owning it. I am baptized. I am part of this covenant family. I am Christ's. I am a new creation. I am part of Christ's body. And be thinking about everything that's being communicated in the baptism service. And remind yourself, this is true for me. Not only in its benefit, but in its obligation. I remember a friend of mine said, I think it was at his wedding that I was in. His friend was in the back with his wife and children and I think just cried his head off at the wedding. And I guess he always cries at weddings, he says, because it always makes him think about his wedding. It always makes him think about he's married and what it means that he took those vows and yoked himself to his wife. And every time he sees a wedding, it just makes him weep thinking about what is true for him, continually true that he needs to keep improving, but was set there in stone, if you will, in the wedding itself. And that is the same way that you need to be watching other people's baptisms. You need to be reminding yourself every time and moved with the covenant of grace that's being communicated to you that you already have. You've already had the privilege of belonging and being part of and renewing what it means and refreshing, just as with the Lord's Supper, I will endeavor after new obedience, O Lord Christ, my Savior, my husband, who has married me. We look at our text again, Romans 6, and we'll look just at verses 4, 6, and 11. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're dead in one life, we're now alive in the other, and we need to walk in the newness of that life. That's where we're getting this idea of walk, along where we'll go next with the catechism's answer. Life moves. A living person walks. And we have been made alive in Christ to walk with God in His new resurrection power of life. And I want to encourage you again, when you say, I am baptized, what you're saying, according to Paul here, is I have a new resurrection power life. I'm dead to the sin of the world. I'm alive in Christ. I have power to live the way Christ wants me to. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can actually do it. You see, because Satan will always be getting you to try to say, no, I can't. I'm dead. I'm dead to the church. I'm dead to Christ. I'm dead to holiness. I'm just alive in this sinful world. That's all I know. No, you're dead. It's the opposite. You're dead to the world. You're alive in Christ. You have the power to be holy. You have the power to do good. You have the power to be righteous. You're alive in Christ. And that's what improving your baptism is, to remind yourself of this and then walk according. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What is it to be dead but to serve sin? For sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. Not only sending you to hell if you're not a believer, but the wages of sin in your life will only bring death upon you. Death in all your relations. Death in all your situations. It will ruin you. It will ruin your life. And you've been freed from that. I am baptized. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, this section is not talking about the mode of baptism. It's talking about the meaning of baptism. And here's its meaning. Clearly, every verse. It's just in every verse. Baptism is about your life's identity with Christ that you must live out. It begins with having died with Christ to the life that you had with this world that was killing you. And now you have a new life that you live in the life and the resurrection life of Christ. That's what baptism means. And to improve your baptism is to keep reviewing that and to keep checking yourself. And the more and more live it out with the right holy walk. Baptism is about your life's identity with Christ that you must live out. It is seen in these verses with the image of crucifixion and resurrection. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old things are gone. The new has come. Or as it is said in Galatians 2:20, here's the meaning of baptism, that you would improve upon it. And I think Paul even saying it of himself, may you say it of yourself, is to improve upon your baptism. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what baptism means. That's what it means to improve your baptism, to keep going back and say that for yourself. I am baptized, which is to say I am crucified to this world. And I am living for the kingdom of heaven. It needs to be said of you what it is said of Enoch and of Noah. They were walking with God, or they walked with God. That's what you want to be said about you. And in John 8, verse 12, you know that we are to be walking with Jesus. Well, Jesus says, if you will be found following him, that is, following after, walking with him, acting like him, he says that you will not be found walking in darkness. Again, Ephesians 4:17 of our scripture reading this evening. You will not be found walking with the Gentiles. It's not going to happen. You won't do it. And you'll stop doing it. You'll slow down doing it. And you'll pick up your gate with God, but you can't walk with both. It's one or the other, because they're going two different directions. Not only two different destinations, but two different completely destinations and directions in getting to those destinations. Jesus says, if you're following me, you won't be found walking in darkness, which means you won't be walking with the Gentiles, according to Paul in Ephesians 4, which means you will not be found walking with this world. You won't be found standing in line with them. As Psalm 1 verse 1 reads, the man who is blessed is not found walking in the counsel of the wicked, but walking with the righteous according to God's law. This walk with the Spirit of Christ is a walk that is not with the ungodly, but it is also a walk that is not alone. It is a walk with the godly. To improve your baptism is to be found walking in one spirit with his church. And so the catechism ends, and it might have been saved for next week with the how to walk, but I think it relates enough to tonight that I want to have it here. It's not enough to be walking with the Spirit of Christ. In fact, you're really not doing that unless you're walking with his body. As his body. The catechism closes. And to walk, if you're going to improve your baptism, you will walk in brotherly love as being baptized by the same Spirit into one body. Let me ask you, who do you spend most of your time with? How many church events do you miss because you're walking with the world? There's a cumulative effect of a walk in a wrong direction that will lead you to the wrong end. to walk in brotherly love as being baptized by the same Spirit into one body. If you're walking with Christ, you will be found on a regular basis, the majority of your time and existence, walking with His body. 1 Corinthians 12:13 and verses 25 through 27 I give to you in part, given to you by the Catechism again. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The members should have the same care, one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We need to be reminded of this. Again, this is what baptism is. Remember the first part, verse 13, we're baptized into one body, one Spirit. A walk with Christ is a walk with His church, or a walk in the church, in the body. Back to Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice, the walk of newness of life with Christ is a walk of we. The walk in the newness and resurrection life of Christ is a walk with we. So it's extremely relevant to ask you, where are you? When you're not here, or you're not usually here with us other places, other times of the gathering of the church. Because the walk with Christ is a walk of we. So Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Whatever part of the body you are, you get nowhere alone. We just bring the logic and the idea of Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians 12. Not only can the hand not say, I don't need another part, or the head, or they're not getting anywhere without the legs or the rest of the body. They'll get absolutely nowhere. There'll be no walk. There'll be death and stillness apart from the body. Severed body parts live lame lives. Too many people lament their lack of movement with God while they live disconnected from His body. Or you might say, too many people lament their lack of movement with Christ while they live self-dissected from His church. Your walk with Christ as your head, your walk with Christ as your brother will be a walk, if it is genuine and real, that is a walk with His body, that is a walk with your brethren. You must improve your body life together to improve your baptism. Take corporate responsibility. Take personal responsibility. Thomas Watson writes, it is not enough that our parents dedicate us to God in baptism, but we must dedicate ourselves to Him. This is called living to the Lord. Where does he get that phrase? Romans 6, did you see it when we were reading here? Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And then, of course, verse 11, we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ. I'll read that again and complete the quote. Thomas Watson, it is not enough that our parents dedicate us to God in baptism, but we must dedicate ourselves to Him. This is called living to the Lord. We should walk as becomes the gospel. That is to improve our baptism. Galatians 5:25, the theme of our sermon title, is a chiasm. And a chiasm, again, means it's from a Greek letter that looks like an X. And so you could slice it right in the middle, and it's a perfect parallel on both sides. And in the Greek, it's more literally this, and you'll see the parallelism, the chiastic structure better when I read it to you. Here's what it really is in the Greek, more literally word order. If we live in the Spirit also let us walk. That's literally what it is. Can you hear the import of two things? First of all, living in the Spirit let us walk. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. It has to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, but in that order, did you hear the emphasis of the phrase? If we live in the Spirit also let us walk. There must be holy movement. There must be holy growth as one body. Movement begins when you give your whole heart to it. Your whole heart to your baptism, the sign and the seal for you, and what it means about you in relation to one another in Christ. J.G. Voss gives us a helpful illustration and some words of exhortation. He writes, "We are born into this world only once, but we celebrate our birthday year after year throughout life. We are baptized only once, but are to remember our baptism and experience its meaning and work out its implications year after year throughout life. Improving our baptism means walking steadily forward in the highway of God's salvation according to God's word." Let me read that last part again. Improving our baptism means walking steadily forward in the highway of God's salvation according to God's word. By all means, take baby steps when necessary. But together, may they lead us into manhood. Babies and babes in Christ are not marked with the sign of life to lie dead in Christ's arms. He will hold our hands and have us walk. Just as He will lift us up on eagle's wings. But remember when we looked at what that really was about, He swoops down and keeps us from falling and hitting the ground. But He's just as much teaching us how to fly. And making us fly. Brethren, let us improve our Christian baptism together. Let us walk forward in holiness. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. Lord God in heaven, we thank You for our baptism. May we say all the time, "I am baptized. I am marked for Christ. I am not my own, but I am Christ's. And I live for Him. And I die to what He died to for me." Lord God, improve our baptism this evening as we have given our thoughts to it. And bless our walk. And as we come back next time to hear how to do this more particularly, bring us back eager to hear it. Eager to check our walk and improve it. Our walk in Christ. Our walk in the Spirit, which is a walk completely opposite and against and not connected with the world. We pray as we partake now of the Lord's Supper that You will continue to help us to continue to improve our baptism. May it be very meaningful. May it be very moving. And may it move us into a very meaningful life and body walk. As body parts and as members of the one body of Christ, moving together in unity, holy unity, scriptural unity, glorifying, edifying unity. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.